Amen. Praise the Lord for that message as well. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and look with me to the book of 2 Peter in chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. I don't think there's ever been a time when I have prayed harder and sought God's direction more than here the last few months. I know how important it is for believers to keep the faith and to continue to look to the Lord for the grace that is available to us. And I know the old devil wants to take every opportunity that he has to try to blind the minds of people to the truths of God. And when you go through trials and you go through situations as we have been going through as a nation and as a people of God even, well, we have to stay focused on God. And I trust that the message this morning is exactly what you will need. It's what God has given to us this morning to preach. 2 Peter chapter 3, if you go ahead and stand with me if you'd like, if you're able to stand. And we'll be reading verse 1 down to verse 13. The Bible says, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And let's pray. Father, again, as we bow before you, Lord, I thank you for allowing us to assemble ourselves together here in this location, in this church building. Thank you for those that are also able to be a part of this via the live stream, even in their own homes. And I pray, God, as we all come together, that we would look to you, and to be open and receptive to what you have for us through the preaching of thy word. And I ask God once again that you would use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message, to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Here we find in 2 Peter, Peter writes to believers who were facing a changed world. Now realize, they were facing a changed world. At this particular time, it was after Christ's coming. He came and fulfilled the Old Testament truths and prophets. He was crucified at the end of his ministry on earth. He was crucified. Then he resurrected from the grave. And now the believers have Christ in them, which changed everything. Their lives had changed. The world had been impacted by the coming of the Creator God. It had changed everything. And Peter then is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write to them. This is the second epistle that he would write, and this is the very end of Peter's writings, chapter 3 that we just read. His message to them is exactly what we need today in a world changed by a virus. No one could have even imagined how that a virus could change society, how we live, not only here in America, but around the world. And even with that, we find that here in the United States, even the death of George Floyd somewhat has changed things. I believe the two are somewhat connected, because I believe that what has taken place over the last 3 months in dealing with this COVID virus has also contributed to leading to what's taken place and the riots and the lawlessness and everything else that is going on around the United States and all the major cities. And if you are aware of those things, you just are somewhat bewildered, as I am. How could these types of things continue to take place? And then I read and I studied chapter 3 of 2 Peter, and I realized that God is giving to us exactly what Peter was giving to those in a changed world. In verse 1 and 2, Peter identifies, it's the second epistle, "Beloved, I now write unto you," in both, which all of his writings, "I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." Your minds have to make sure that you have pure thoughts, right thoughts, God's thoughts, that ye may be mindful of, and this is an important thing, mindful, this is what we need to have in our hearts and minds, the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles, of the Lord and Savior, the words that God hath left for us in every area of life, in every dispensation that humanity has gone through. God's words have been what is the most important thing to look to. So Peter is basically saying here in verse 1 and 2, stop, collect your thoughts, control your fears, and be mindful of God's words. Yeah. And in being mindful of God's words, we find here that there's going to be scoffers. Now, Peter will go into, and we'll study this morning, insight into human life on earth from the very beginning to the very end. And I love that because he helps us to understand God's thinking at the beginning and God's thinking at the end, and everything in between is in accordance to God's beginning and God's ending of things concerning human life. But the main thing that we need to consider as we go through a changed world and deal with the things that we have to deal with in this dispensation of time is the very same thing that they needed to deal with in the dispensation of time that they were going through. And he says to them in verse 3, knowing this first. So as you're going to deal with a lot of the changes in your life and changes in the way you live life and the world that is always changing, he said, knowing this first, trying to get our thoughts on the words of God, trying to stay focused on God's purpose for things, but he says, know this first, that there shall become in the last days scoffers. Scoffers are those who doubt, those who mock, those who oppose God, the God of the Bible, or if you will, the words which represent the very mind of God, the words that have always been present in every dispensation of time for what those in that dispensation needed to understand. God's words. So scoffers are always going to be present. And in verse 5 and 6, the first thing he says, they are ignorant, willingly ignorant. And when you know that there are messages out there that are ignorant of the things of God, you can't allow those messages to stay on your mind and hinder you from having right thinking toward the words of God. There's not a more important time than when you're going through the trials and you're going through the changes and you're going through some of the tough times of life that we keep our focus on God's words. But there's always going to be scoffers. We look back over the history of humanity, there's always been scoffers that, if you will, doubt the words of God. They make fun of the word of God, they mock the word of God, and they oppose the biblical words of God, the God of the Bible. So the first thing that he presents to them as he first of all tells them there's going to be scoffers and you're dealing with a lot of that today. He says, for this, verse 5, for this they are willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God, and there again, that word of God, that's what you focus on as you read this, by the word of God, the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. God says, I've recorded that in the Bible. I have left you that understanding because there is much that you need to be aware of and learn from the words, which I have preserved for you. The scoffers are ignorant of a world that perished by way of the flood. But God's recorded it. Because if we think back, it'll help us. The first world that God created and placed man on, the first world. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created. That right there is understanding that there is a creator God is something that we need to be aware of, and do not allow scoffers to get you to doubt creation. Because as we focus on creation, it gives us an understanding of the great God who was able and powerful enough to create all things. In the book of Job, and we find that Job is probably the oldest book of the Bible, but let me read to you what Job brings out in chapter 26. In Job chapter 26, verse 4, "To whom hast thou uttered words? And whose spirit came from thee?" God has uttered humanity, always has. He has given to us words, his words. And God, the Creator God, has given us life. "Whose spirit came from thee? Dead things are formed from under the waters and the inhabitants thereof. Hell is naked before him, and destruction hath no covering. He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing." I love that part right there, because that helps us to see that God realized that he hung the earth on axes, and he controls the rotation of the earth and the rotation of the planet around the sun, and all, it's designed by God. And if we see God in that capacity, can I tell you, as long as you know him, you have nothing to fear. I know a Creator God. Matter of fact, I know that he loved me enough to send his son to die for me. And Jesus was there in creation, and he actually came to die for me. That means he loves me. Not only do I know of a God that is a Creator God, but I know that that is a God who loves me, which will help me as I face some of the struggles of life, no matter what dispensation of time you've lived in. Because Job had that. And it would help Job in the dispensation that he lived in. "He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them. He holdeth back the face of his throne and spreadeth his cloud upon it." In verse 10, he gives us more insight into how God created the earth. Not only is it just hanging out there on nothing, gravity, and we understand all of that today. They did not know that. They did not have the science of that when the Bible was written, but God knew the science of it. "He hath compassed the waters with bounds until the day and night come to an end." The boundaries of the waters on the earth, God designed that. The idea of day and night, the rotation of the earth around the sun and giving us our seasons and giving us our days and our nights, God revealed that back in the oldest book of the Bible. Don't be ignorant of the words that God has left for us so that we might know who he is, and knowing who he is, find the grace and the help that is available to us. Don't listen to the scoffers. Don't listen to those who want to try to get you to doubt the existence of God and a Creator God and a God who is very much aware of us and has a will for our lives. You see, this world, in this very first world where God created and placed man on it, in this world, God would test man through man's own conscience. That would be the testing of man. In every dispensation of time, God designed a test for humanity. In the Old Testament dispensation, it was a dispensation of law. Man was tested as per what he did with the law, the word of the law that God left. Before that, in this first world, man was tested by his own conscience. Could he live right, do right, based upon his own conscience? Because that's what separated man from all other forms of life, is his eternal spirit, and being created in the image and likeness of God, he had a conscience, an awareness of himself. God ended that first world with a great flood. Verse 6, that's what Peter reveals to us, right? I mean, that's what he says. Don't be ignorant of this. He said, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Knowing that God judged man based on their decisions in their test of their own conscience. Because of their own conscience, when they turned from God, their thoughts of their mind were evil continually. That's where it led to. And God destroyed it. And God destroying the world with the flood helps us to learn of God's power and control. God destroyed the world because of man's failures and his sin. Now, in that, we learn what man's sin nature is capable of. If you ever have a question how far man can go and how sinful man can be, just look back to the first world, when man was actually tested by his conscience and judged according to his conscience. But it was God who was in control of things. Yeah. Even during the first world. But we also learn that, like Noah, stay committed to God's leading. Once we understand God's design of the universe, he established it. He put, created everything for mankind. Then he put mankind on the earth, and man fell to the sin. He first of all allowed Satan to deceive Eve, and then he partook of the very same a sin that God told them not to partake of. They went opposite God's will, and from that point, they were judged based on their conscience, and they continually turned away from God to the place where, based on their conscience and their thinking, every thought was continually evil. And God destroyed the earth because he will judge sin, but there's something that is recorded in there that you and I, as we read and understand it, can be helped by, and that was Noah. And the Bible records that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, I love that. I appreciated Ashley and the message she sang this morning, and I'm up here just rejoicing because I said, you know, that's confirmation. That's exactly what we're going to be preaching on. That's what we're looking at, is the idea of the grace of God. And Noah found that grace because that grace is always available. It would have been available to anyone else that lived on the earth at that time, but they rejected, they scoffed at Noah. They of their own free will turned away from God, the understanding of God, and they turned away from the plan that God had for their salvation, and they turned away from that even though it was available. But Noah found that grace. And in every dispensation of time, from up to the beginning up to now, and from this point forward, that grace will be available if humanity will look for it. And God's grace is sufficient for our every need. Whether it's a coronavirus that we're dealing with, or it's a riot and it's all the lawlessness and everything else that's taking place in society, God is very much aware. He is an almighty creator God. And if you just look to him, and you don't have to have fears, and you don't have to live in fear, and you don't have to be so upset over everything. Just look to God for the grace that's available to you in this 21st century. Yeah. His grace is always available. Yeah. found grace. And because of his grace, he stayed committed to God's leading all the way up to the point of the flood. And because of God's grace and Noah's commitment to God's leading, he was saved from the flood. Now that's recorded for us to learn from. Amen. But the scoffers are going to try to keep you from understanding that and believing that, and they'll make fun of it, and they'll get you to try to blind you to that truth. But the truth is grace from an almighty God, creator God, is available to us today. Well, go back with me, because that was the first world that he revealed that they were ignorant of. In verse 7 to verse 9, scoffers are ignorant of the purpose of and the future of this world. This is the second society, if you will. This is the second world that God reveals to us. But in the heavens, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, the heavens are the atmosphere. And this physical earth, which are now by the same word, God's word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant. The scoffers are ignorant, but you don't have to be ignorant. Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Be patient, for Jesus is coming again. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He promised he would. He's going to do it. He's going to come again. As some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now that's a powerful passage of scripture right there, because that gives us the purpose and the future of this world. This present world is being kept. I don't know if you've missed that. The world that we live in right now is being kept by God. It's not going anywhere until God is finished with it. Until his purposes have been accomplished with it. For the church age, first and foremost, this world is being kept by God. For the church to complete its mission. See, next month, and prayed about it, we're going forward with Missions Month. We have missionaries coming in. We're focused on still doing the work that God's called the church to do, and that is reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because in verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, that God die and go to a devil's hell, but that all should come to repentance. That's a world that we're living in right now. This is a second world that God has purpose for. His purpose was, first of all, for mankind to understand that they're lost, that they're sinners, and they can't save themselves. And so we have the law. The law was given. The dispensation of the law in the Old Testament. And yet it revealed to us that we are sinners in need of a Savior. We're going to be preaching on that tonight after the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. He gives us insight into the law, and we'll be looking more at that tonight. But the idea of the Old Testament was designed by God and kept by God for the fulfilling of the law. That was the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to fulfill the Old Testament law and establish New Testament Christianity for this church age. God has kept it all through the Old Testament. God now is keeping it through the New Testament church age so that the purpose would be that the world, mankind, would have an opportunity to believe in and trust in a Savior, Jesus Christ. Because God says, it's not my will that any go to hell, that none perish, but that all come to repentance. And that is an individual choice, that you have to acknowledge your sin and repent of your sin and receive salvation. Can I tell you, church, we're not going anywhere until that's finished. Yeah, because it's being kept. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Being kept. Now, he also said he's keeping that right now for the future. There is going to come an end to the church age. Verse 10, go back there with me, because he reveals it to us. We're not ignorant of this, we know this. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. So don't put your faith and trust in something that's going to get burned up. Seeing then, you understand that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness? Shouldn't be living for the world. We ought to be living for Christ. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Our future is a rapture and ultimately an end to this earth. It's been kept for that purpose. But this knowledge will help us today. The knowledge of the purpose and the future of this world will help you and I today, if you allow it. If you don't let the scoffers get you to doubt, if you don't let the scoffers cause you to turn away from the words of God, don't be ignorant of that. That just helps me. I don't know about you. It helps me to know God is keeping things as he wants them to be kept until his plan has been fulfilled. And as a born-again believer, my life is in accordance with his plan. This church is here in accordance to his plan. So let's not lose sight of his plan. And let's continue to reach the world with the gospel of Christ, starting in your Jerusalem. Amen. No matter what's happening, yeah, we still are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Yeah. Verse 13, and we're done. Look at verse 13. Because there was a first world, and there was a second world in which we are still living in today. But there's going to be a third world. Amen. There's a third world that you and I have been made aware of. And it will make the difference in the peace that we have as we live in this world. He says in verse 13, nevertheless, let's stop there for just a minute. The burning up of this world, the end of this world that God created for his purpose, the end of it, the future of this world, is God's going to burn it up. Doesn't matter how it's going to happen, where it's going to happen, it's going to let it go back into the sun, whatever it might be, doesn't matter, it's going to be gone. So nevertheless, the burning up of this world is not a message of doom and gloom, but a message of hope. Because we won't be here when it's burned up. Some people think, oh, God's going to destroy the earth and the world's going to be burned up. And it's not a message of doom and gloom if you don't let the scoffers blind you to the truth that God has given to us through his word. If we stay focused on his word, then you're going to understand that it's going to be so much better. But he says, nevertheless, don't look at it as doom and gloom. Look at it as hope, because it's the ushering in of a new one. We, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. See, that's what's missing in the world we're living in. The ruling and the reigning of righteousness. Satan being allowed to continue to walk to and fro as a roaring lion devouring whatever he can devour. Causing the disruption of the purpose of God for this world. But we don't have to let him disrupt us, because God's grace is available to us. And we focus on God and his grace, and we can accomplish what God has us here to accomplish. And that changes our thinking. That helps us when we go through some of the trials and struggles of life. I can accomplish what God has for me to accomplish in this world and then look forward to a third world where there's no sin nature, that everything is done according to righteousness. Do not be ignorant of God's future design and God's future plans for a third world, in which, if you're saved in this second world, then you're going to enjoy in the third world. Amen. Now, I love Isaiah, and we'll close with this, but Isaiah chapter 51, let me just read it to you, write it down. But Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 6, he says this. Now, this was prophesied back in the Old Testament, but it was the word of God prophesied for not only them then, but for the New Testament church age and for the third world that we have to look forward to. He says in Isaiah chapter 51 and verse 6, lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment. And they that dwell therein shall die in like manner, but my salvation shall be forever. And my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings. Isn't that great? That's Isaiah. And then Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 17, he says this, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall be not, will not be remembered. I love that. All the negative memories would be blocked out. Anything that will cause you grief or pain or sorrow will be blocked out. Amen. You know, I oftentimes when I'm doing funerals, I'll tell the family and I'll tell friends, I'll tell them, I said, forget about any negatives. Forget about any bad thoughts that you might have had about this person or whatever. That's all past. Hold on to the good memories. Hold on to anything and everything good that you can connect with this person, because you have those memories for the rest of your life. I don't think heaven would be heaven if we had to hold on to bad memories. And God knows that. And so he writes for us, he prophesies for us in the Old Testament, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Yeah, what a blessing to have the words of God as we go through whatever we must needs go through in life. Don't be ignorant of it. Hold tight to that which we have need of that will help get us through it, and that is the words of God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Peter writes to believers who were facing a changed world. I believe the message I preached this morning is just as important to us as it was to those that received this letter from Peter. God's recorded for us to help us to find the grace that we need to make it through whatever we have to face. His grace is sufficient for us if we look to it. Look to God's word. Look for his grace. It'll meet your need. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, we want to thank you for the truths of your word. And God, that we have it before us and we're able to read it and we're able to hear it preached. And I just pray, God, that you would take the message that's been preached and help anyone and everyone that will hear this message. And as we look and hear the message, I pray, God, that we would each and every one look into our own hearts and minds to decide if there's decisions and changes that need to be made in our own thinking. I pray, God, if there's anyone that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that through this message that they would see that you have a desire for them to be saved. And God, they would be saved before it's eternally too late. Work now in this invitation. Have your will and your way in everyone's heart and mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.